As we discuss the religion of Christian Science today, you'll find out that denying reality is an integral part of some people's entire outlook on life. My name is Bob Allen, and joining us is Todd Ehrenborg, a contributing editor to the Christian Research Institute Journal and author of A Manual for Evangelism of the Mind Sciences. Todd, on behalf of Dr. Kennedy, I'm pleased to welcome you to Truths That Transform.
Oh, I'm very glad to be here. Thank you.
Todd, as we look at Christian Science today, there are many who would say it is a dying religion, is a graying religion. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I would. Christian Science for the last decade or so has been slowly dying, but the problem is that many people are leaving Christian Science and being attracted by the other mind sciences like religious science, unity, divine science, and also specifically I think there's a good deal of people being drawn into the New Age movement and its many, many different varieties that are within that.
What are the attractions of those other groups as opposed to Christian Science today?
Well, the four main doctrinal teachings are basically the same, although they're described in similar ways. But I think the attraction is that it gives people something that, quote, something that I've always believed. Although Christian Science doesn't teach reincarnation, for example, unity does, and people who have been brought up in the traditional churches, who have a desire to reject the concept of heaven and hell, reach out for something different. And they reach out to the East, and reincarnation looks very attractive, so they reach out for that and grab a hold of that.
Before we move into talking about specific doctrinal areas, tell me a little bit about the founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy.
Well, she was a fascinating lady, and she was born in 1821. She, at 17, joined the Congregational Church in New Hampshire, but she refused at one point to accept what she called their morbid theology. And this is very typical of new religious leaders. They have a smattering of Christian terminology in their theology, yet they don't come across and tell you, I reject everything that the historic Christian Church has stood for 1900 years. They don't tell you that up front. It's not until much later that you find out that they do deny every cardinal Christian doctrine. But Mrs. Eddy did that at a young age. She was married three different times to three different men, and the biggest influence in her life, though, was Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, who was an old Maine healer. And Mrs. Eddy was sick most of her life, and most people don't realize this. Even after she founded Christian Science, she went through great periods of sickness, according to her own personal friends and her literary advisor, Henry Wigan. But Mr. Quimby was really, I think, the father of Christian Science without knowing it. He used his metaphysical techniques to heal Mrs. Eddy from an illness in 1862. Quimby called his techniques the spiritual science of healing disease, and later he even called it Christian Science in February of 1863. And shortly after Quimby died, after Mrs. Eddy had been studying his beliefs and techniques, she claimed to have a fall on an icy pavement, and 3 days later had a miraculous discovery, and she said this was the beginning and her discovery of what she was to call Christian Science. So out of this so-called healing, Mrs. Eddy took off on her own, taking Quimby's beliefs and his metaphysical principles, and she began the Church of Christian Science.
Earlier you mentioned four main doctrinal teachings. Tell us what those are this time.
Well, the first is that God is an impersonal being, or as Mrs. Eddy said, divine mind, or principle, capital P. And so the Bible teaches, of course, that God is personal and that he exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Mrs. Eddy denies that, for she teaches that Jesus was just a man. He was really a divine idea. And in order to understand that, we need to understand that Christian Science teaches that the material world does not exist. It's an illusion, just like Hinduism. In fact, there's a lot of Hindu beliefs in Christian Science that Mrs. Eddy borrowed and came up with her own version of kind of a metaphysical Hinduism, although most Christian Scientists aren't aware of that. And then also Jesus is not God the Son. Jesus did not really die on the cross because death is not real. The third doctrine, after who is Jesus Christ, is salvation. And Mrs. Eddy teaches that salvation takes place in a change of your mind, a change away from the error that you do have sin, that you could be sick, and that death exists, changing your spiritual understanding to realize that there is no sin, and that's your salvation. Of course, this illumination or this enlightenment only comes through Christian Science and Mrs. Eddy. The fourth doctrine, of course, is the bodily resurrection of Christ, and because the body doesn't exist, Mrs. Eddy would deny that as well.
Todd, you mentioned in your answer that there is a tie-in there to New Age teachings. What exactly is that?
Well, it's interesting because Christian Science and the mind sciences are really a part of the New Age movement, although they probably wouldn't admit it or be aware of it, a lot of them, because the way that Mrs. Eddy came up with these doctrines of Christian Science comes from some presuppositions, or what we call world views, the way that people look at truth, reality, creation, and so forth. And Christian Science, as well as the whole New Age movement, has a worldview that is called monism. And monism comes from Hinduism, and it teaches that everything in existence is a part of a unified whole, that there's one ultimate substance, whether it's mind or matter or some third thing, that everything is related intrinsically. And so there's no difference between you and I and a desk or Jesus Christ. We're all one. And that worldview comes from Hinduism. The second corollary to monism is pantheism, which is a doctrine that says that God is not personality, but that God is all the laws, forces, and manifestations in the universe. And all those things together are what make up God. And so God is in the table, he's in the chair, he's in the tree, he's in you, he's in everyone, and in fact, he is everywhere in everything. And so those two basic presuppositions tie all the New Age together and really make Mrs. Eddy a part of that same doctrinal foundation.
Now, as you said, one of the distinctives of Christian Science is that illness is an illusion. And yet, as you also said, Mary Baker Eddy herself was sickly all of her life. How did they resolve that contradiction?
Basically through denial. Mrs. Eddy, later in her life, she wore spectacles. She had work done on her teeth. According to her personal secretary, Calvin Fry, he wrote in his journal that Mrs. Eddy took hypodermic injections. And you know, that would seem a direct contradiction about what she was teaching as the founder of this metaphysical religion. But the way I think she got around it was just an outright denial of the material world, that whatever was causing illness, the manifestations of illness, or evil, or death, or sin, it was all an illusion. It didn't have any real existence. And so it was a total compartmentalization of their thinking to say that the only true reality was spirit, and that everything else did not really exist. And so that's how the salvation comes into Christian Science. They say, if you'll just understand that you're not really a sinner, that there is no such thing as sin, then you will find eternal life.
Did Mary Baker Eddy find that eternal life according to Christian Science? Because obviously she died according to our perception.
Right. Well, they would say that's an illusion. And in Christian Science, everyone finds salvation or harmony in divine science, in the Christian Science heaven. Everyone is saved ultimately because they believe that we are all God, similar to the New Age movement, and that therefore once our physical body dies, which is just an illusion, our spirit, everyone's spirit, will continue on and sooner or later will receive the revelation that Christian Science was true in the next life. So it's not reincarnation, in Christian Science anyway, but ultimately, the bottom line is universalism. Everyone is saved.
Moving to a discussion for a brief moment about the ecclesiastical structure of the church itself, Mary obviously positioned herself as a strong leader of Christian Science, and she also effectively prepared Christian Science to continue after her death by creating the governing body of the modern church. Let's talk about all of that for a moment.
Okay, the basic authority of the church is, first of all, Mrs. Eddy. She wrote it into her will and testament that she left to the church, that she was the final authority, whether she was there or not. And so Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, and the other writings of Mrs. Eddy are the ultimate authority. And then secondly, the pronouncements of the Mother Church, that are always based on Mrs. Eddy's teachings can also be a source of authority. But Mrs. Eddy was a very shrewd woman and a terrific organizer. When she was 61, she only had 50 followers. And so within just a few years, her movement rose until her death in 1910. She had over 1 million followers. And so she was a terrific organizer and leader. And she left a structure behind that would perpetuate her authority, whether she was there or not.
You mentioned the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health. Let's talk about what that is for a moment and what its role is in the life of someone who follows Christian Science.
Okay, your average Christian Science person reads that on a regular basis and ideally reads that particular lesson each day in that book to enable them to understand the Bible, hence the name Key to the Scriptures. Mrs. Eddy said that the Bible was full of mistakes and that she received Science and Health as a revelation from God that was higher, clearer, and more permanent than anything before, meaning the Bible. And so Science and Health is really a metaphysical reinterpretation of truth. Many of the chapters in Christian Science deal with spiritual principles and basic teachings. It does quote the Bible quite a bit, but of course it's all from a metaphysical standpoint. The best way to describe metaphysical is that it is meta above and physical, so it's above the physical. And it really comes from the approach to reality that Plato taught in his idea of forms. Plato said that the form of a table or the idea of a table is more important than the table, the actual physical table itself. And in like manner, Mrs. Eddy taught that same thing in a little bit different way, but similar in that the only true reality of man or a table is the spirit that represents that table or the form. And so Science and Health gives the metaphysical or above the physical explanation of what the true reality is of the physical. That's one way that Christian Science does get around various contradictions within itself, is because metaphysics is so nebulous to begin with that you can pretty much come up with your own version of reality without much trouble.
The founder of Christian Science was Mary Baker Eddy, and apparently, Todd, since her death, it's been discovered that she plagiarized many of her writings from other sources. How is the church dealing with that fact?
To say basically that it wasn't true, to say that the opponents of Christian Science were misled, they have one apologist, Mr. Peel, who has done some writing to try and answer the attacks of various people outside the church, but their bottom line answer is that you don't understand Christian Science because you're not one of us. And so it's always an appeal to, you don't have illumination. You don't have the truths and an spiritual understanding of what Mrs. Eddy really taught, and so therefore you can't understand Christian Science, and you can't understand her writings. This is one thing that if we're going to communicate with a Christian scientist and any person in the mind sciences and communicate the gospel to them, this is a hurdle that we really have to overcome, and that is to try to assure them that we can understand words given in a certain context to have a specific meaning, and so therefore we can analyze Christian Science even though we're not an adherent, and that's a difficulty that you have to overcome.
And the bottom line is also that unlike the gospel, which is such that a child can understand it, Christian Science is obviously something that takes a lot of study and a lot of thought.
Absolutely. That's a very good approach to take when you're dealing with someone in metaphysics. Another thing in Science and Health is Mrs. Eddy's dictionary or her metaphysical interpretations of words. One main element in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures that's a key to understanding Christian Science is Mrs. Eddy's glossary. She'll have the basic biblical terms that she uses and that we use too, and she'll give the Science and Health or the metaphysical definition of those terms. I'll just read one of them for you. For the term man, she says, man, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind, capital M-I-N-D. And in some of the writing that I've done, I've contrasted her definitions with the definitions in the Bible to show the great difference. But, of course, she spiritualizes and uses metaphysical interpretations for different words, and that's one of the main ways that Christian Science is so confusing to people, because they don't understand metaphysics.
As we move into our final section of this program, I would like to start building some steps. Obviously, many people are probably having trouble grasping exactly what Christian Science is. So let's begin to build some steps to dialogue with a Christian Scientist whom we might know at work or in the neighborhood.
Okay, the first thing I believe that's most important is to listen and to love the person. I've had opportunities to share with many different people and many different cults, and sometimes Christians go with me and they come on too strong and they shut the door before we even have an opportunity to get further conversation. And the reason that is, I think, is because we're involved in a spiritual warfare whenever we're sharing the gospel with anyone, particularly in the kingdom of the cults where there is such spiritual darkness and, I believe, a satanic hold on people's minds and the spiritual blindness that Paul talks about. So I always try to communicate to the person first that I care about them as a person. And I ask questions, much like we do in Evangelism Explosion. We ask questions about their family, their work, and their interests, and we build a bridge of rapport with them to let them know that we're not against them. We may disagree with them, but we love them with the love of Christ, and that we're asking questions not because we're trying to attack them personally, but we care about them and their eternal relationship with God. And we care about them as a person first. That's where I begin to even if it takes several sessions, it depends on the person who you're talking to, but to communicate to them that you really do care. And then secondly, to find out where the person is at. We can't assume that every Christian Scientist has the same understanding and is at the same point that every other Christian Scientist is. Some may be older in the faith, some may be newer, just like at your church or my church. And so we ask questions. And the most typical cultist is trained to answer questions. And when you bring them questions and say, well, I've been thinking about this and I've been reading this book, Science and Health, and I have a few questions, right away, boing, that's going to elicit a response, a positive response from them. And so we're not coming in with an argumentative approach, but really a seeking approach to try to build a bridge so that the person at the right time, and as the Spirit leads us, they'll be open to what we have to say.
Well, obviously, as you said, many Christian Scientists will be at differing levels, but what are some general points for then after we've built the rapport of where we go from there?
Okay, the other point that I left out is praying, which is so important. I guess we all know that, but Billy Graham said the three keys to evangelism are prayer, prayer, and prayer. And so, first, when we do approach anyone from another religion, we need to recognize that there's no one surefire method for sharing Christ with someone that's in one of these new religions. But the Holy Spirit will lead us and give us what we need to say at the particular time. Now, while there's not some specific surefire method, there are general guidelines that we can use. And the first is to understand what the group teaches and to be familiar with the definitions that they use. There will be no communication unless we understand what the Christian Scientist, for example, believes that the word God means, or what the word Jesus means, or what the word sin means. And so we have to understand what they mean and get them to define their terms. And also, we need to define our terms from the Scripture so that they understand what we're talking about. And then once that is done, then we need to be able to show the contrast between the Jesus of the Bible, Jesus of Nazareth, and the Jesus of Christian Science. And I avoid peripheral doctrines like communion or the second coming of Christ or things like that, and I stick to the very basics. And I usually talk about God, the nature of God, the person of God, and the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Christ. I focus my attention on those things. And after we figure out where the person is at, then we pray and say, Lord, how can I take that person one step further in their understanding of what the Bible teaches about this particular topic? And usually I start with who Jesus is, because the claims of Christ in Scripture are so clear and so many that I contrast the Jesus of the New Testament with the Jesus of Mrs. Eddy. And since there's such a big contrast, and since Christian Science claims to be founded on the Bible, then hopefully our main job is to plant seeds of doubt in the person's mind. Our job as Christians isn't to win an argument, but to win the soul. So the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of conversion, but our job is to love the person and to deliver the message. And that is by over and over and over again bringing them to the point of showing them the contradiction. And many times it's frustrating because it seems like they don't understand or they don't see the contradiction, but that's where the Holy Spirit takes over. It's our job to show the contrast and to show them and to explain to them the Jesus of the New Testament, and then pray that the Holy Spirit will give them understanding and open their eyes to see the truth. There's many other general guidelines that would go along with this. I've already mentioned define your terms and stick to the basics. I would advise not to attack Mrs. Eddy or talk about her shortcomings as a leader, but rather focus on what she taught. And then the best thing is to try and develop a relationship with the person, and over time, not only share your words of your faith, but really demonstrate to the Christian Scientist that your life is different because Jesus Christ lives in you. And, of course, we know that the best way to do that is to love the person and make sacrificial acts on their behalf to show them that you're really different because you're a Christian. And sometimes that goes much farther than the words that we say.
All right. Well, Todd, we are out of time at this point, but I hope we have been able to stimulate some action among Christians who have been listening, and maybe also a little bit of questioning among those who may be involved with the Mind Sciences. I want to thank you for being with us today.
You bet. Anytime I can help, let me know. Thank you for a chance to be here.
That is Todd Ehrenborg, contributing editor to the Christian Research Journal and author of a manual on evangelism of the Mind Sciences entitled Speaking the Truth in Love to the Mind Sciences. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Truths That Transform is a production of Coral Ridge Ministries. Views expressed by guests on the program are not necessarily those of Dr. D. James Kennedy, Coral Ridge Ministries, or this station.